Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 135, part 1. The waters will be watered. Today is Friday, February 26, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion. You can do that at Pastor Paul's blog, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within Pastor Paul's show notes for each podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the scripture links. Be sure to join us part one on Friday and part two on Sunday, the conclusion of Pastor Paul's messages. So for the month of February, the lineup is this: our trials and our divine deliverances, seeing and telling, we are hard cases, and the waters will be watered. So have a fantastic month of February. Happy Valentine's Day. God bless you.
Tonight's tape is entitled, "The Waterers Will Be Watered." Several calls have prompted me and prompted this message, and Mick is faithful in the radio ministry as he's been over a 5-6 year period here. In my absence, played some old tapes. And through that, I have to tonight expound and expand on a message I had from 1979. And we ministered, I remember it well, we ministered on we are the salt of the earth, and that we don't become tasteless. And then we sang, has the salt shaker lost its flavor in the cupboard out of sight? Have you hit it in the morning? Have you hit it in the night? Has your salt shaker lost its flavor in the cupboard out of sight? A lot of times we take our salt and we hide it. You know, it's risky when you take your salt shaker out and you put it on the table for others to use. Man, they pick you up and they just shake you. We also ministered on how to deal with excessive grief. Now, a lot of times there can be things in your life that's not a particular reason, but you're grieved. A lot of times they call it depression, but when it's deep depression, it's a grieving depression. Don't try to escape grief and sorrow. I'm talking to people on the radio that call from the radio all the time with illusions. Let's have to face it here right now tonight. There is grief, but it's how that we react to it that determines the results. Now, there's a lot of people right now, and I'm finding through the calls and through the letters and so on, they're grieving. And they try to escape it with some kind of an illusion. Maybe they'll go on a trip, or maybe they'll say, let's take a second honeymoon, or let's do this, or let's do that, or let's try to go back. Let's try to go back to our first love with the Lord. And they try to take a trip all by themselves without even praying. And they try to recreate everything that happened on that first honeymoon. You know what? It's a flop. See, it's got to be a move of the Lord. A lot of times you're going through and you're grieving in your spirit. You don't know exactly what's wrong, but you have to allow that time to go. There's a grieving in the spirit all over. And so summing up the 1979 ministry, we have found down through these years that it is necessary to surrender your fears, your resentments, and your griefs. And you have to surrender them to God, that all-consuming fire. Oh, and how we hate to get into fire. How we hate to walk in there, into that fire, that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego fire. We don't want to get in there. No, no. Of course, it's a little bit easier for me to talk about it. Let's say a new Christian or someone that's new in the ministry. It's a little bit easier for me to talk about it because I've gone through. And after a while, you start to get your building starts to get a, let's say, fireproof. You understand that you're going to have to go in that fire, you're going to have to go through that fire, and you're going to have a lot of spectators watching you. But there will be one in that fire, hallelujah, like as the Son of God that will be with you. Are you hearing this? There will be one in that fire like as the Son of God. It will be the Son of God that will be with you while they're throwing all their chariot tires in there, all of their written up complaints and all the old furniture and all the old whatever. And causing it to be a fire that's seven times hotter. Glory to God, there will be one in there with you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be in that fire. Now, if you want to be where the Lord is, you're going to be where there's going to be a fire. You're going to have to be where it gets hot. What do you mean by that? Well, when it gets hot is when things start happening in your own personal life, and you have to go through them. That's a fire. And if you stay in that fire, God will consume all that chaff. God will take out all of those things that are hindering you. And you'll be made pure gold. Well, you say, then why don't people surrender? Why do they hesitate? Why do they refuse to surrender their fears and their resentments and their griefs? Well, these are only the symptoms. The real disease is you. I'm talking to you on the radio and on this tape now. Maybe someone out here. Maybe the disease, in fact, the disease you'll find out in the very end is you. Because people become exactly what they practice. You practice being fearful. You practice being resentful. And you practice grieving. You become that. Many times people like to get into grieving. Oh, it's fun to get into grieving. You ever see a griever? They're always grieving. Oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen. And they get into this grieving, and they get into this resentfulness. And they, good morning, and they won't even answer you. Or they get into fears. Fears, what's that? Who, me? Me go up on stage? Me go out there and witness? Me do that? I can't. I can't do it. Or resentful. Nice suit you have on. What'd that set you back? People all over you're finding right now are resentful. Sometimes they're resentful when you do a good thing and it turns out. They don't want it to turn out. They want it to go down. And so they're very resentful people all around. Or they're walking around with a whole lot of griefs and a whole lot of sorrows. Why did I take the turn in the road this way? Why didn't I turn that way? Now I'm in a fine mess. How do I get out of it? You don't get out of it. You go through. Whatever is supposed to be burnt up will be burnt up. Whatever is not to be burnt up will not be burnt up. Are you hearing this? But they get into this terrible fit of fearfulness, or they're resentful, or they're grieving, and that seems to be the whole of whatever's going on in the Christian world right now. I don't know. And you're probably asking me right now on the radio, well, what are you saying? I am saying that egocentricity is the root of all of our problems. And that means the attention is on you. You want to get good and bored? This morning I was sitting up at the cafe up here at the Olympic Cafe. The waitress didn't show up, and the cook didn't show up, and another waitress didn't show up. So I happened to be sitting in there, and I, of course, am very talented in cafe works. I was brought up in it. So I sat there, and I waited for a while, and I started getting itchy. You know what I mean, itchy? Ants in the seat of your pants? And I couldn't stand no more, so I got up, I cleared all the tables. It was surprising to me what God, the Holy Spirit, brought to my remembrance about running cafes. And I whizzed around there, and not bragging up myself. Now, I'm just saying glory to God that it happened. Now, don't worry, I'm not boasting. Don't get that on the radio. Don't think I'm just telling you this for your own good. I got up off it, and I got involved. And after about a half hour, and the dishes were done, and the tables were set, and things were going along, the dishwasher came in, and he says, "You can leave now." I said, "No," I says, "I'm not going to leave right now. I'm on a roll." I am on a roll. Now, maybe you don't like that terminology. I don't know. I don't care. But I am on a roll. Aren't you on a roll up yonder? I am on a roll. And I got on a roll. And I says, I'm not going to leave until I finish this. And I got this to do and that to do. And I got to wash this sink up real nice and shiny. And I got to get all this done because I'm on a roll. And then you can have your job. And I provoked that guy so bad he came out about four times and says, "You can leave now." I says, "I'm sorry, I'm not done yet." And he says, "Oh," he says, "I've been sick for like 4 days." But you know something? All of a sudden, he started getting better. And I stopped in there tonight and I says, "Well, how are you feeling?" He says, "Oh, fine, I'm feeling great." A whole lot better. God put him through some kind of a fire by watching what I was doing, provoking him to good works. And that's what we need. We need a provoking. We need someone to provoke us out of being fearful, provoke us out of being resentful, and provoke us out of our grieving. What do you mean? Why do you use that word grieving? Because people do grieve. It's not just depression. My God, it's further than that. It's grieving. You know what I mean? Grieving, they're grieving. Grieving. Now, how many know that? Now, it's a fox in the well, look. It's the knitted eyebrows. It's the down at the mouth. It's a fox trying to get out, and he's all wet and ragged trying to get out of the well. That kind of a look. And it is a grieving. My God, it is, it's just, I tell you, you've got to go through the fire. And the problem is you. That is the problem. It's ourselves. I say you, I include myself. That is the problem. Now, if you can eliminate that, and I'm not talking about committing suicide or jumping off a bridge someplace. If you can eliminate you, you're going to have it made. That's the biggest problem you have. Even the world knows that. You're your own worst enemy, they say. Well, isn't that right? A lot of times, if you could turn off your brain, you'd make it just fine. And I'll tell you what, you could make it a whole lot better if we could turn off our hearts, because what comes out of our hearts, whoa. Whew. But the root of this whole problem is egocentricity. That is the root of all of our problems, and this is the attention, and when the attention is on you, you've made yourself, don't you see, the very center of the universe. Now, doesn't that sound kind of simple, that you're the hub, the center of the whole universe? Do you think the world's going to make it without you? I think they will. I think that dishwasher found that out. That the world did not depend. The waitress found that out. Because here's an old man out there. Carrying them dishes, woo, just having fun washing them dishes, picking them up, yes, sir, huh? And one guy that was helping, I said, "Hey, I want you up off that chair and stop eating because you're not done. Did you punch out yet?" And he had fun. And so then I talked to him later. I seen him again tonight, this guy. He says, wasn't that fun today? I says, you know why it was fun? Because you got up off it and you did something. You got out of yourself and you got into something else. And that is the root of all of our problems, because we confine everything to ourselves. We live within this little selfish body. We don't want to reach out to anybody. We want to live in this little selfish body. Oh, what a place to live in. Isn't that a hell all of its own, living inside of your own body with all your own thoughts and all your egocentricities and all of your thoughts about yourself and woe me and all this old grieving and stuff? But everything revolves around this type of person. Your habits, your likes, your dislikes, your jealousies, your fears, your resentments, your grievings, and you're like, you see, the hub of the wheel. And all of these spokes are all the different symptoms. And then we sometimes complete our ego trip by binding all of our symptoms together with a band, a wedding band. Pretty hard to stay on the road with two flat tires. Say amen, somebody. I don't know if that's the truth. Oh, you don't want to admit it, but my God, it is the truth. You cannot stay on the road with two flat, one's bad enough. And so people get married, they get bound together, and there are two flat tires going down the road, clump, 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 clump. And their faces are just, oh man, they're grieving and they're resentful and they're fearful and, oh, why are we taking this trip together type of thing? Why did I have to do this? Oh, God, deliver me, and all of this kind of thing. Isn't that the way it is? Well, maybe you haven't made that step yet, but if you feel like you're getting hooked up to a flat tire, son or a lady, don't do it. How many are hearing this? Bold preaching, you say? Praise God for it, says I. Says I, praise God for it. Because it's the truth, and the truth will set you free. But bind us together, and now we can roll along on our own wheel of fortune. But, you see, we only move when our symptoms are moved to move. When we are led by who? Self. Have you ever seen a kid? I don't want to. And they puff their great big old lips out. I don't want to. Huh? Your kids ever act like that? How many got kids that act like that? I had them. I had four. Did you ever act like that yourself? I mean, when you were a kid, when you were 50 years old? Yeah, that's true. But I don't want to. How many have that thought this week? But I don't want to. Oh, there are so many I don't want to's around. I don't believe it. Say amen, somebody. But I don't want to. What do you want to do? My mother used to ask me. What is it that would satisfy you? What do you want to do? I can hear her right now. And I'd tell her all the things I didn't want to do. Then my mother, the windmill, would come after me. And she'd tell me what I was going to do. And if I didn't do it then she'd show me what I was going to do. How many of you, don't you think once in a while we ought to have our spiritual ears pulled into action? Huh? Come on now. Listen, radio audience, don't you think that your spiritual ears, now you've heard enough, you have been to every seminar there is, you have been to every teaching there is, you have been to the Kingdom of God teachings, you have been to the submissive teachings, you have been to the nobody ever goes to hell teachings that are from hell, and you go to all these different teachings. Now, and you've read every book there is to read. And you know why that you haven't changed? Because you're reading all these books for yourself. And you always relate these books and all these things, and even the Word of God, to someone else. It can apply to you. This always applies to someone else and never to us. Because you see, a lot of times we find out in ourselves we're on a great big fat ego trip. And when somebody hits us right in the ego pouch, we don't like it. We're led by self, which always complements our ego trip. I want to tell you something. God has got to be the center, or we will always be a problem with ourselves and with others. God has got to be the center. What does that mean? Well, that means you have to get out of the center. See? Because you're going to be miserable there, because you cannot hold that wheel together anyway. There's no way you can. You know, I recognized that about myself when I was first saved. Well, you say, what'd you do about it? Nothing. I just recognized it. They didn't do anything about it. I knew it. And I saw it. But I did not do one single solitary thing about it. I made excuses. How many in here make excuses? Yeah. What's that? You better put your hand up. You're listening on the radio. Get your hand up there. Come on. Don't look over at your husband. You get your hand up too. But how many of us have made excuses, you listening on the radio? I played games with God. You know what? I always lost. And finally I said, self, you know, self, you are in the way. Move over. I recognized that I was a hindrance to myself. That I wasn't allowing God to move in my life. Why? Because I was on an ego trip. And so then I ignored myself. I hate you, you pervert. And then Adam didn't get much attention in the mirror anymore. Stop smiling at you. You know what you are. I'm talking to myself now, see. Then I shut my mouth and I said, I am becoming humble. And I had my teeth like this and my knuckles were all white. I'm getting humble. And then I closed my eyes to lusting and I had X-rated movies in full colors, panoramic. Is that too honest for you? What I had done is put myself under the law. I said, these feet are made to run from sin. This is when I first got saved. And you know what, though? They were made to run from sin, but I was kicking myself in the rump all the time. Because I didn't like it. I didn't want to run from sin. And then I thought, I only listen to good conversation. I refuse to hear any bad conversation. But I heard every dirty word. My hands, I thought, were made to be at rest. Except for saluting good. But I always made sure I had an audience. No mouth, just a pious nod of the sanctimonious head when I listened to people's problems. Mm-hmm. Like a doctor, you know, they examine you all over. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They never say anything, they just worry you to death and give you a bill. Worry you further. Say, and they never tell you what's wrong. Well, what was I doing all that time? Like many of you listening on the tape, many of you listening to this radio program, I was fighting myself, which only aggravated self. I had created a new, holy, religious monster to deal with. Oh, it was a religious monster. Have you run into a religious monster lately? See, my old self was much better than what I had created, because this one started to make demands on me. Like, you're saved now, so show it. And I started to make demands on myself. You belong to God, so shape up. Give up all your old habits. Don't even think about them. Now, I'm starting to legalize this thing, see? And when you start to legalize that thing, the very thing you don't want to do, that's exactly what you're going to do. And I told myself, you are a new creature in Christ. Start to perform. And now I put myself under a lot of pressure. How many in here have done that very same thing? It happens with everybody. And I thought, now you got to act humble. You ever try to act humble? Well, when you're trying to act humble, you actually get so good at it, you get proud of acting humble. Well, now this is about as humble as I've ever been. My God, look at this face. Whoa, man, I'm humble. My voice is toned down. No, I'm not. I'm kind of a loudie, you know. My voice is toned down. People can barely hear me. No, yes, I'm humble now. Praise the Lord. Praise. And I thought that was getting humble. So I was trying all these different avenues, and I was aggravating myself further. Well, I thought, now I got to start to walk the second mile with folks. Well, you ever start with exercises? You start out with 10, then you say, I'll do 10, and you do 100, and then you're stiff the next day. You got to start out easy on yourself, and then you think, okay, I'm going to lose so much weight, I'll run a mile a day, and you run 5, and partner have a heart attack. And it's the same way when you first get saved, or when you're trying to change something in your life that you don't like, and you start to legalize the thing, and you want everybody to run 10 miles and get stiff with you. Then I thought, I got to forgive everybody, and I started to rack my brain on all the people that I should forgive. Forgive others. And then I found out that I was at fault. And then I found out I had to forgive myself, and I had problems with that. Then I started thinking, well, how about offerings? Now, you're listening on the radio. These are questions that you ask me all the time. Guy came in, he says, you know what? That's the law. We don't have to give 10%. That's legal. I says, that's right. Now you can give your life. You're not under the law anymore. You don't give 10%. You give your life. And your life is your billfold, everything you got, your house, your car, everything. Praise God, that's wonderful. I agree with you, brother. That's beautiful. Then I thought to myself, get your eyes off of other people. Get your eyes on yourself. The more I tried to look at the things I was doing wrong, the worse it got. The more I started to look at other people to find out where they were at so I'd make myself feel better. Then I thought to myself, don't judge! Bible says don't judge! Oh, you ever tried not to judge somebody? Have you? Try it sometime. You'll just find out how mean and how hellish you really are. Have you ever tried it? Now, I know I'm bringing these things up front. You maybe never even thought of them. But have you honestly tried not to judge somebody? Well, I think it's near impossible without the grace of God. You're just going to continue on doing that thing. And see, if you get under the legalist end of it, you're not going to have the grace of God. You fall from it for a while. I mean, in that area. Then I thought, well, now you got to show love. You ever try to show love? How do you show love? And so I went around trying to show love. If somebody had a flat tire, I'd pull over there. Huh? And I'd get over there and I'd get their jack out, and their jack went, oh, praise God, don't worry about it. And maybe God didn't want me to stop there, see? But I thought, boy, you just don't pass up any opportunities to help anybody, and you just go, you do this and you do that. And I kept myself busy, you know what I mean? Doing nice things to show love. I was painting people's insides of their houses. I was painting the outside. I was scraping. I was wearing myself out trying to show love. You know what? I was hating those people who are doing, why are they in there? Why ain't they? Are they lazy bums? I'm out here scraping. They're in there on the telephone. Huh? Now, how many got into that one? Oh, come on. You all got into it somehow. Sure you did. Then I got into reading the Word, and I mean, okay, now this is beautiful. Now, don't take this wrong, because there's someone waiting, marking it down with their pencil, and they're going to find something wrong with this message. You probably already have. I don't care. These are different things that happened in my life. They've happened to you, too, and let's be honest about it. My God, let's be honest. Please. All right, radio audience, and you listen, turn me back on again. I sing that. Are you hearing this? Oh, what a dilemma when we try to do these things by ourselves and show love. Isn't that sickening when someone's trying to show love? And they kind of get their shoulders all up like this, like a little flower. I know, they try to bunch themselves up like a little flower and show love. Careful, because your human love is like a fly trap. Huh? It's selfish. And it consumes and it eats everything in its path. Now, I'm just trying to kill self so you can get on with God here. You understand? I'm showing you, I'm talking about self. And so I got into reading the Word. And I read the Word until my eyes were bloodshot. And then I put myself under legalism. And I thought, no, you didn't read enough of the Word. And then I'd read a whole page. I didn't remember what I read. I did not remember not one word of it. You must read 50 pages. You must read 50 chapters. And I'd lay there, and I'd get on my hands and knees, and I'd get down, and I'd open the Bible up, and I'd start reading these chapters. And I'd fall asleep right there on my knees, with my face in the Word. You know why it wasn't making it? Because it was not done in love. It wasn't done with a searching heart. It was done, I'm going to learn the Word of God, and I'm going to show them guys I really know the Word of God. When you do it that way, what you do about it, you do it to your own destruction, and you end up using that Word on someone else. Because see, if you stay up all night reading the Word, you're mean the next day, see? And so you use it the wrong way. It's like people, and then I started going to these prayer meetings. I thought, I got to go to a prayer meeting every night. So every night I went to a prayer meeting. They'd lasted. The charismatic move first started. They'd last till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd be so tired and so mean the next day. They didn't do me no good. Oh, God, save so-and-so at work, and make sure, Lord, that the Holy Spirit moves upon them and everything. See, but I needed my rest. God gives sleep to His beloved. And I stayed up all night, and I made myself miserable, and I got legal about it, and I'd come to work, and I could care less about them people because I was tired. I mean, maybe this is too realistic. I mean, I don't know, but I know it's the truth. Now I got a witness. And so I went out, and I witnessed to everything. I mean everything. Well, doesn't it say, go to the highways and byways and minister unto all creation? And I got so weird, I started ministering to trees and dogs and everything. You know what I mean? I did. To all creation! And I tried to get wisdom from books and tapes and daydreaming. Fantasizing about this great ministry that God was going to take me in. Literally millions falling down. You know, you can get weird doing that. I don't know how many people in my life, in my ministry, have come in and told me, I am Jesus Christ. You know that's a spirit? You're the Antichrist, and they come on anybody. They actually get so weird they think they're Jesus Christ. And a lot of people have thought that for an instant. They think, well, I am Jesus Christ. I am Jesus. This guy come in, he says, I am Jesus Christ. I don't want you to laugh at me. I am Jesus Christ. I said, fine, let's get out of here. I want to go. And I shocked him right out of that. I says, here's the word of God. It says, when you come, I go. I'm so glad you're here. I want out. See, now that might not sound real orthodox to you, but have you ever heard anybody like that? Now that's the truth. You have to battle that thing and just bring people to reality. I mean, they just get so balled up and they get so crazy. Now I told myself, don't think, just open your mouth and God will fill you up with the words to say. And so I ran out without asking God whether he wanted me to go out or not. And I got out there and nothing came out of my mouth. God didn't tell me to go out at 4 o'clock in the morning. I told myself it was a devil. Go down there to the corner of a university. And I'd make up these things in my mind. What is it, Lord? Corner of a university. And I'm not saying these things don't happen sometimes. But you can actually get... Now, it does happen sometimes. And it has happened in my ministry several times where God has told me to go to a certain place. But you can get proud in that. So that after it happens a couple times, you try to manufacture it to happen again. And so how do you fight something like that? Well, I prayed about it because I just knew I was getting nutso, you know. I knew I was nutso, you know. I mean, at least I had that much. I said, hey, you are nuts. And so what I did, I asked the Lord, I said, how do I get around this? I don't know who's talking to me. And then I read these books on the devil and the flesh and the soul and the spirit, sanctification, you know what I mean? And I read all these books and I thought, God, I don't know if I'm born again, sanctified, holified. I don't know if it's the devil talking, self talking, soul speech, heart from the heart, from the mind. And I just got confused, and so I prayed about it, earnestly prayed about it. Says, God, I need direction real bad. I am really going crazy, you know. And he says, you'll know me because I'll call you by your name. And until I hear my name mentioned, not without me thinking about it, though. It comes to me, and then the Lord calls my name, and then I go. Now, that's my pact with the Lord. Well, then you mean you never make no mistakes? Oh, yes, I do. When I try to manufacture on the end of something, Paul, and I put myself in there without Jesus putting me in it. And sometimes you even know the difference, but you don't listen. Now, how many are hearing this? Well, these say, well, what was the problem? I was taking old Adam through a home improvement plan. I was taking my flesh, my old Adam, lover of the apple, through a home improvement program that God was not involved in at all. And old Adam didn't like it. He didn't like any of these things I was telling you about right here. And you know what, old Adam, then he says, stop saying we will overcome. You're a phony. Stop praising God. You don't mean it. And I would be at these great big meetings, and they'd be, praise the Lord. And they'd be praising the Lord. And old Adam would speak. You don't mean this. It's kind of like the canary, that they put the mirror inside the canary's cage, you know. And he started a-picking, and he started a-pecking at this old mirror, and he started a-pick and peck and pick and peck and peck and pick. Then he ended up, he started getting frustrated, and he started to fly up against this old mirror again and again until he was beaten, until he was bloody. And the mirror had to be removed. That's what I was like, fighting my own image over and over again. Until I was nervous, until I was frustrated, until I was worn out, until I was discouraged beyond words. Did I get rid of self? No. Self does not die that easy, I'm telling you. Self became more miserable, more sick, more disillusioned, more resentful, more fearful, and more grieving. What a dilemma. Well, what'd you do next? Next, I gave up fighting self. And I concentrated on becoming perfect. Now, how many have been there? You concentrate on being perfect. And thus, that took care of this problem of self, right? I went for a perfect personality. And I think the perfect personality at that time was, and I think he's a beautiful person and a great evangelist, Billy Graham. And I tried to become like Billy Graham. You must be born again. I tried to become Billy Graham. I was going to make myself perfect. Then I started to look at all these other preachers, and I said, "Preacher, you need the Holy Ghost in your life." Yes. "You need the power in your life." And then I was always trying to become what these other brothers were, what I thought they were. And I loved them, and I desired to be perfect myself like they were. But you know, it was funny. But before I started my perfection course, everybody accepted me. But later, in this perfection course that I was taking, I lost people's interest. And I wondered, why? I'm trying to become perfect. I got models here, and I got models there, and I'm trying to become like this. Why? Why aren't they receiving me? Because, you see, I had no real interest in other people. My interest was in perfecting me. I became a perfectly frustrated, self-righteous meathead. And so we must become God-controlled, not self-controlled. Now, maybe this will help you out so you won't have to go through all that, but it's miserable. These are steps that people take all the time. 2 Timothy 3 and 1 says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they deny the power thereof. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter the households and hold captive weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning." Oh my God, how we love to learn. "Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And the truth is, folks, is that you got to give your body as a sacrifice to God, because it'll do you no good to hold on to it. Because you'll try to improve it. When you try to improve it, you get legalistic about it, and you just start to be a stinker. Are you hearing it? And so don't declare war on yourself. You know why? You lose. You can't handle yourself. That's why you give your life to God. You try to handle yourself. I declare war on Paul. I declare war on Corey. What happened? Isn't that a miserable existence? But now, not only did I lose all of my friends, Because of this situation, I lost. Lost what? I lost my self-esteem. I lost my confidence. I lost my personality. I didn't know who I was. Well, who am I? Where do I fit in? And lastly, I hated myself. And you see why? Because I was trying to create a perfect person. And you know, after that I got to that point, I didn't like what I created. No, you know what? You have to live with the stink that you create. When you get holier than thou art, when you start to home improvemize yourself and you start to get legal about the thing and you start to judge folks and you start to get into all this kind of thing, you become miserable to live with. No one can live with you. There's not man, woman, beast that can live with you. Now I'm just telling you like it is. Because if self is in the center, and self always, and I'm not saying sometimes, self is always, always disruptive. Now listen, you're not the center of the universe. Just think it, if God took us seriously as the center, zillions of planets going around, you'd have to control all those planets. Every hair of everyone's head, you'd have it numbered. You'd have to keep track of every hair in Corey's head, and he's a hairy guy. That wouldn't be much of a job with me, would it? But every hair that he has, you'd have to keep track of every hair, because now you've made yourself the center of the universe. By focusing all your attention on yourself, now you're the center. And everything, that's the way it is. Everything has to revolve around you. All your friends, your preacher has to revolve around you. Your mother has to, your father, your brothers, your sisters, the public out there, your boss, and everything has to revolve around your moods. And see, the person is a whole lot of moods. That's the person. And the world knows it. They say, well, what kind of a mood are you in today? Oh, praise God. Yeah, no, they don't say praise God in them. They just say, well, great. You're in a good mood today. What kind of a mood is a boss in? Because everything has to revolve around the boss. Or some person that's been there. Or somebody that's been there for 35 years, meaner than hell itself. And everything has to revolve around that person. And they get up in the morning, and it's a monster raising from the bed. My God, please. Huh? They're laying there. Just think of this miserable person waking up in the morning, and they wake up, and they open their eyes up. Oh. It looked all right when they were sleeping. We say that about kids, don't they? Aren't they sweet when they're sleeping? Just look at them. They're so dirty. Yeah, they're sleeping. But when those little eyes open up, huh? I suppose there's a lot of mates that wish like that. Say amen. Too honest? Too frank? Not spiritual enough? Hey, it's the truth. What's the sense of not ministering the truth? Right? So if you're here,